The first scripture I'd like to share with you today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42 and verses 6 through 9. Let us together hear God's word. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Our second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 25 through 38. Let us again hear God's word together. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a child of perhaps only 7 years old, my only night of real insomnia was the night before Christmas, waiting for Santa Claus to come. I couldn't fall asleep because of my anticipation of his arrival. As a child on Christmas Eve, the next morning was going to be filled with surprises and presents, and Santa Claus was coming to town. His 8 little reindeer were in flight, if even through a blizzard, and they were definitely going to land on the roof of my grandparents' house. Santa was going to come down our fireplace chimney as long as I didn't try to come downstairs to see him. For you see, I was told that the rules of Christmas were as follows. Whatever you do, don't become so impatient that you climb out of bed and go down to the Christmas tree where Santa might be. And woe unto you if he happens to catch a glimpse of you being awake. You won't get anything from him. And so I obediently stayed in my bed all night long, anxiously awaiting the next morning with all the promises that Christmas would bring. Advent is a season of hopeful expectation, but it is also a season of faithful waiting. Each year, we patiently wait for the celebration of Christ's birth, but we also patiently wait for the promise of Christ's second return. People must learn to wait for many things in their lives normally. But it seems at this time of year, we usually wait a long time. We wait for the sales. We wait for the bonus check from our employers. We wait in heavy traffic. We wait for the family to arrive, perhaps. We wait for Christmas morning. We wait in long lines. And we wait to return our unwanted gifts. And then perhaps we even wait for the bigger sales after Christmas. And if we don't really get what we want, and it all is a bust, then we have to wait till next year to get it right. The only thing you don't have to wait for, it seems, is the line to get into a church. There's usually no waiting for that. But the truth is that many of the people of Israel looked forward and waited for the Messiah much more than we look forward to Christmas or to the time after Christmas or to any material gifts. The greatest of all God's gifts was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and the people of God awaited his birth for centuries. God's people today are still waiting for Christ's return, his second return. Today, though, I can't help but wonder if we look forward more to the things that money can buy than we do to Christ's return. And yet, Advent and Christmas and Christmastide should fill us with the hope that we are in the midst of promises yet to be fulfilled. They are promises in waiting, if you will. Now, there's also a dual meaning to the title of today's message, Promises in Waiting. There are so many gifts that we are to receive because we are waiting more upon the Lord than anything else. In other words, there are promises yet to come. They're waiting to come. But we're also receiving promises in faithful waiting for those promises to come. And so the title to today's message has a dual meaning, Promises in Waiting. Let us pray. Lord, grant us patience as we wait for your promises, and grant us spiritual eyes to see them when they arrive. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you read about all the lives of the prophets in the Old Testament and the preachers in the New Testament, you may come to the conclusion that no one in his or her right mind would ever want to be a messenger for God. They are laughed at, they are scorned, they are ignored, they are persecuted. Sometimes they waited for years, even generations, before those messages were fulfilled. And sometimes prophets were vindicated only late in their lives or perhaps long after their deaths. But one thing we must believe, God's promises always eventually come to pass. We read about two such patient people at the time of Jesus' birth, Simeon and Anna. And when we look closely at their stories, we see that they didn't choose their message. God revealed his message to them. And they didn't decide to become prophetic. God made them prophetic. You see, no one should really decide on his or her own terms to become a prophet or a preacher. Only God can call people in those ways. Only God can do such things. And they didn't wait because they had nothing better to do. They waited because they believed that no matter how long it took, God's promises would eventually come true. Now, some of us may ask, if God's promises are the best gifts that we could ever receive, why is it that they come only after much long waiting? Well, have you ever noticed that the best promises usually are the ones that we have to wait the longest to receive? Friends, instant gratification is highly overrated. And yet these promises in waiting are usually the ones that we speculate the most about. And eventually, sometimes we even doubt because they take too long to be fulfilled. And yet, could it be that good things do come to those who wait? And yet even better things come to those who wait even longer? Don't we almost always get into trouble when we demand instant gratification? And yet, most profoundly, aren't God's greatest promises for those who truly believe in them? Isn't it during the passing of time that we discover the validity of our faith in believing without seeing? You see, in being faithful over a long passing of time, faith is lifted up and God is glorified. We glorify God when we wait upon Him. And we glorify God when we believe in His promises instead of taking matters into our own hands. Isaiah the prophet said, "Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." When Jesus started His church, He told His disciples, "Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of My Father upon you. But you are to wait in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Apostle James wrote, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Are we content, therefore, to faithfully wait for the Lord and His greatest promises in our lives? Or are we people who tend to leap ahead of the Lord's timing and settle for lesser things because we can get those sooner? Friends, God is going to ask us to wait for many things and many great things. But He's probably going to ask us to wait even longer for His greatest blessings of all. Why? Is it because the greater our anticipation for something, the longer that we have to stay faithful in waiting for it? I believe so. In other words, all those things that we desire the most, that are the best gifts from God, seem to take the longest to receive. And sometimes people turn away from waiting because they just can't do it anymore. They can't take the time, or they stop believing. So what are we anxiously waiting for in our lives? Is it something spiritual? Is it something monetary? Which do we more anxiously anticipate, the things of this life or the things of Christ's kingdom? Are we awaiting His promises to be fulfilled in us? Or are we only anticipating the after Christmas sales or something equally benign? You see, we can discern how deep our faith is by simply what we are longing for the most. May I say that I long to be with the Lord. I long to be with you in worship. I long to see Christ working in me and in all of us. And I hope you feel the same. Now, Simeon was an old man who lived in Jerusalem. It is interesting that the scriptures purport that Simeon was a righteous and devout person looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, I read these as the qualities needed to hear and receive God's message. He was righteous in his faith. He had the righteous daily living. He was waiting patiently and hoping in God's promises for Israel. He must have had a lot of time in the temple hearing the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was leading him. And so God chose to reveal to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This was God's personal message to this faithful believer. What has God revealed to you? I believe that when we are made righteous through faith in Christ, not on our own, and we attempt with His strength to live a devout Christian life, that we serve Him daily and we walk by His Holy Spirit, and we wait faithfully and anticipate His promises in our lives, we will eventually receive the revealing of God's messages to us. Have you ever perceived God's wonderful messages and promises to you personally? I have. The scriptures indicate that Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple, and Mary and Joseph brought in the child Jesus to carry out the custom of the law, and Simeon perceived immediately that Jesus was God's promised Messiah. And immediately he picked Jesus up, he held him in his arms, and he blessed God and uttered the following prayer. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. So here is Simeon holding God's long-awaited promise in his arms. That inspired him to speak another prophetic word to Mary and Joseph. He said, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Now, Mary and Joseph certainly did not want to hear that their son would be a sign to be opposed. And Mary surely could not have appreciated hearing that a sword would pierce her soul. Even if the end product was that many thoughts would be revealed. That sounds like a rather small consolation in comparison to a sword piercing your soul. So the scriptures indicate that Mary and Joseph were amazed at the things that were being said about their baby. But it doesn't indicate that they enjoyed everything that was being said. They were amazed. Mary and Joseph could not have felt comfortable, in fact, hearing these messages. And of course, Simeon's prophetic message turned out to be true. In John 19:25, we read that Mary was standing near the cross of her son until Jesus died. Imagine the anguish she felt. And she saw the sword that was used to pierce Jesus' side. That sword was also a metaphor used by the most respectable Greek writers to indicate and express the pungent sorrow within a person's heart. When that soul pierced Jesus' side, it pierced Mary's heart. Such is the result of faithful proclamation of the word. Faithful preaching of God's prophetic words. Sometimes the truth hurts. George Whitefield, one of the greatest preachers of the 18th century, said, "It is a poor sermon that gives no offense, that neither makes the hearer displeased with himself nor with the preacher." But Simeon had to say what the Lord had revealed to him. Good preaching reveals God's greatest love and joy and promises, but also God's fullest and sometimes painful truths, nothing less. Simply put, prophecy is preaching the message of God. It's an inspired message or utterance by the Holy Spirit. It is intelligible as opposed to being without meaning or purpose. Prophecy is also relevant to our day and time in which we live. So prophecy is not just predicting the future. In the New Testament, it is simply proclaiming the truth of God and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. But then there was another prophecy about Jesus that came from a woman, a prophetess named Anna. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now, the tribe of Asher was one of the 10 tribes that made up the northern kingdom of Israel, several families of which had returned from their idolatry unto God at the time of King Hezekiah, when he proclaimed the Passover in Jerusalem, which is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 30:1-11. The writer made sure that his readers knew that Anna was from a very faithful tribe of people. Anna was a prophetess, it says, and a very distinguished one at that. Her whole family was faithful. Friends, the call to preach or prophesy is larger than gender or race or family relations or nationality or economic status or educational level or anything else but the will of God. God gives us the message. To those who will proclaim it, like the angel and Jesus did at his resurrection, to the women first, for them to tell others. He is not biased against one gender or another. Anna was also advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years, it says, after her marriage, and then was a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple. She heard the scriptures, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God, and she continued to speak of him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So here is another example of a faithful person receiving God's promise after a long, long wait and speaking of Christ. Now, if you listen carefully, these prophetic words by both Simeon and Anna have none of the later words and phrases used by New Testament writers to describe the person and ministry of Jesus. The vocabulary is different. It's totally different. In other words, their prophecies were not some interpolations from later redactors. These words were spoken during the historical time of Jesus' life, of which this scene purports to be. This is historical narrative, and it is accurate. And yet, even without the New Testament vocabulary, these prophecies make perfect sense. They were fulfilled by Jesus, and they continue to be fulfilled, I think, in our day. Jesus has become a sign to be opposed for many groups and many people. This prophecy in waiting has become a reality today. Many people today do oppose Jesus, and they did in his day as well. The name of Jesus offends people. The cross of Jesus is a sign that disturbs folks. Even the word Christmas offends people today. Why is that? Well, if there was no truth or power in Christ, then it stands to reason that the reaction of most folks should be just apathetic. They shouldn't even care. But because the sign of Jesus and his ministry and his life and his resurrection is so powerful, the reaction is usually highly emotional. His message, if preached in its entirety, comes across the same way. People get upset. Now, in late March of 2001, a little Jewish girl was killed in the fighting in the West Bank while she was sitting in her stroller. And on a wall where she died, there is a poem in her memory. According to the Washington Post, April 4th, 2001. When they passed the spot where she was hit, they stopped and read a poem affixed to the stone wall, an elegy to her pinchable cheeks, her sweet smile, her kerchiefed cuteness, and to the urgency and the necessity of revenge. The poem said, "We will take revenge. We will scream for revenge in body and spirit and await the coming of the Messiah," unquote. Unfortunately, that is how many people thought the Messiah would be of Jesus' day. And that is why they were waiting for power and judgment and revenge. They couldn't perceive of a Messiah who would come and tolerate those Romans, who would preach repentance of the Jewish people and repentance unto faith in him, and anyone who would die for the sins of the world. And so they really didn't understand that Jesus was the promise from God for which they had long hoped. So they've been waiting a long time, but they were waiting for different things. Are we waiting for God's kingdom to come and his promises? Or are we waiting for different things, things we would rather see? Are we waiting for God's promises or something we would rather have? Let us be found faithful, waiting for God's promises, like a child, earnestly waiting for Christmas morning. There are many of God's prophecies in waiting, and they are yet to come for many of us. But we must be ready to receive them before they arrive in our lives. And we must be able to perceive them through the Holy Spirit so that when they do arrive, we might take them and hold them and pick them up and hold them tightly in our arms and never let go. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even as Simeon picked up the Christ child and held him tightly in his arms, we pray that we would tightly hold your promises near to our hearts and never give up on them until they arrive and we see them and we depart in peace, knowing that we have received the greatest blessings of all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, may others who hear this message never give up on your promises. And may they await their arrival in their lives as well. And may everyone who hears this message receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.